Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
We would like to welcome you to another episode of TMT Talk, Baker McKenzie's global TMT podcast. I'm Kate Alexander, the Global Chair of the TMT Industry Group, and in this episode, we will be discussing divestments in the TMT industry, specifically focusing on the carve-outs landscape and why it's increasingly prevalent in the TMT industry. Join me to discuss this topic are Darcy Down and Robert Wright. Darcy is a partner in our LA office, and she advises clients on a wide range of transactional matters, including domestic and cross-border mergers and acquisitions and complex multi-jurisdictional corporate reorganizations. Robert is a partner based in our Hong Kong office, and he specializes on advising corporates and financial sponsors on leveraged M&A transactions, co-investments, exits, restructuring, and portfolio company matters. Welcome to you both. Great to have you here. To kick off, Robert, let me start with you. Could you tell our audience what conditions you're seeing in the current market that are leading TMT companies to consider and pursue carve-outs?
Thanks. In the current market, I think two areas worth highlighting in particular relate to the strategic rationale for carve-outs and some of the geopolitical trends. There are other issues which we'll talk about, no doubt, today. Firstly, if we look at carve-out transactions from a general commercial or strategic standpoint, carve-outs have really become an increasingly important tool for corporates as well as financial sponsors in disposing of non-core assets or underperforming businesses. This might provide an opportunity for companies to potentially unlock value and improve liquidity, particularly in the current climate. Interestingly, in 2023, it was a time for a number of large TMT sector corporates to strategically review their business operation and identify what they might consider to be older infrastructure or other non-core assets. So as we move into 2024 with increased sensitivity around capital allocation, we think there is likely to be more focus on exiting non-core or non-strategic business divisions and potentially redeploying that capital in higher growth areas. So not only is this good corporate governance, but strategically in some markets, it's also been an effective tool for managing some shareholder activists. If we look at what we're seeing in local markets, we've seen some corporates are really analysing both vertical and horizontal business units to assess things like profitability, sustainability, and other strategic issues, which might give rise to a potential divestment. Specifically for some TMT companies, we've seen in recent times that there might be an opportunity to utilise a carve-out or a spin-off to monetize non-core areas like IoT, media, advertising, or other B2B tech divisions. The second area that I mentioned we would touch upon is the geopolitics in the current environment. Globally, we've seen the rise of protectionism with concepts such as nearshoring, friendshoring, and other trends relating to supply chain issues. Carve-outs, spin-offs, and sell-down strategies have also become part and parcel of contingency planning for corporates. On almost every deal these days, we look at the geopolitical landscape more closely and how it might impact the transactions we're advising on, as well as broader investment considerations. So practically, what does all that mean? Well, supply chain due diligence goes under the microscope, and we see increasingly an uptick on things like material adverse change provisions in contracts. Ultimately, having the ability to pivot on supply chain and outsourcing arrangements provides more flexibility to manage these types of risks. So taking a step back, I would say in the current environment, we are seeing more corporates scoping these issues early on. And this really allows for more meaningful planning to map out safeguards and processes to mitigate these types of risks. Darcy, I might see what you're seeing from a US perspective on these types of geopolitical issues.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. You know, I agree. And we are doing and seeing a lot of the same in the US. From a US perspective, the geopolitical focus is certainly China. We've seen, you know, new outbound investment restrictions with China, prohibitions on chip manufacturer imports and exports. And I think we're all seeing right now the position from US lawmakers with respect to TikTok. And, you know, the ban in the U.S. can be avoided if there is a divestiture of U.S. operations to an entity that's not controlled by a, you know, quote unquote, foreign adversary. You know, and I think TMT investors are already adapting by being more careful with investments in China, not always divesting from China entirely, but certainly becoming more conscious of not putting all of your eggs in that basket. And we are seeing some tech and biotech companies and investment firms actually entirely divesting in China, you know, in some cases to further relationships with the U.S. or refocus in the U.S. You know, in other cases, companies are simply saying it's just a more challenging outlook in China. So it's just more complicated to do business, less opportunities for expansion, less synergies. So, you know, geopolitical risks certainly shaping TMT M&A strategies in the U.S. and elsewhere. So in terms of other market conditions that are driving carve-outs, I'll also jump in and highlight, you know, regulation, which is certainly a big one, and then to a lesser extent, growth of AI and also sustainability. So in terms of regulation, again, as we all know from reading our daily news, increased antitrust investigations and enforcement against large TMT companies. Antitrust regulators are challenging big tech companies who are facing ongoing lawsuits and pressures to divest certain businesses and implement other structural changes to address this alleged monopolizing behavior. And of course, generally in the market, we're still seeing longer review timeframes, more second requests, more litigation, but that's been going on for a couple of years now. I think the common sentiment is that the regulatory landscape is much more challenging for M&A, that it's a barrier to M&A. But I think I would say it's not a barrier to M&A, but it certainly does add some complexity, which is not always a bad thing. If companies are willing to engage in complex M&A and they have advisors with the right experience, deals can still get done. So next, in terms of growth of AI, I think there's two prongs here. AI is, of course, removing the need for certain back-end functions. And although I think we're still in the early stages here, we expect AI technology will flow into operations across TMT and other industries, leading to spin-offs and divestments of back-end functions that are no longer needed. And in addition, we expect to see more carve-outs and divestitures as, you know, TMT companies rebalance their product and service portfolios with an AI focus. And then last, in terms of sustainability, you know, companies divesting businesses that are just less sustainable from an ESG perspective. Again, rebalancing portfolios in favor of businesses with lower environmental impact. And then we're also seeing companies divest businesses that are sustainable from an ESG perspective as a way to unlock that capital at an attractive multiple, kind of given the premiums placed on climate and sustainability considerations and energy efficiency and the like.
Thanks both for painting that picture for us. It might be a good idea now to focus on the main legal and structural considerations for businesses planning a carve-out. Darcy, would you mind walking us through this?
So the planning phase is so critical, and there are many aspects to consider, but I'll highlight just a few. The first aspect of the planning phase, building your team. It's very important to engage the right team of people within the organization and with outside advisors who will be responsible for delivering your carve-out. You need leaders and decision makers at the very top of the organization who are going to be empowered to make the tough decisions, and there will be many. But you also need multifunctional and local expertise. I think even more so than your traditional M&A transaction, it's necessary in a carve-out transaction to understand the local market and local operations so you can identify and manage those potential problems in that local market in the planning phase of your carve-out. Of course, bringing in a host of local managers during the planning phase increases the risk of leaks and potential market issues. So it's important to balance this risk with the value to be derived from a broader team in your particular transaction. And then, of course, you'll want to enter into the appropriate NDAs, consider making a public announcement regarding strategic review in order to minimize that type of market risk. Once you've curated this perfect team of global decision makers and local experts, you know, you'll need them to work efficiently together. So you'll want the right process in place, right escalation procedures to ensure that issues are being funneled up to the decision makers and then back down to the teams implementing those decisions. And then the second aspect of planning phase to highlight here, defining the perimeter of the target business. So identifying what it is that you're selling, what's in and what's out. And that's actually harder than it sounds. With the pervasiveness of global IT systems, global supply chains, focus on integration, it's harder to identify today what belongs to the target business and what belongs to the seller's other businesses. So how do you start this process? Follow the money. Cut the financials first. Where's the revenue, the cost, expenses that would be associated with the target business? This gives you the right starting off point. And then you can get more granular. You can start looking at what the specific assets and liabilities are that will transfer with the business, paying particular attention to assets that are shared among the target business and the seller's remaining businesses, and making sure that you're coming to a view on your preferred approach for those shared assets. For example, if there is shared IP that transfers to the buyer in the transaction, does the seller expect a license back and on what terms? And then, of course, the same mapping exercise would be done for the employees working for the target business. And then once we know what assets and liabilities are transferring in a carve-out transaction, it's just as important to understand what is not transferring. What is it that the seller is going to keep? What gaps need to be filled to get the buyer to a standalone business? And who is going to be responsible for filling those gaps, for how long, on what terms, and at what cost? So, of course, this all leads to the planning around the transition services and other longer-term commercial arrangements between the buyer and the seller. Critical that this is discussed as part of the planning phase of the project. The third aspect, of course, transaction structure. So now that you know what you're transferring, we need to come up with a realistic process by which that transfer can occur. How will it be structured, and what will the legal structure of the buyer and seller look like once that carve-out and transfer has occurred? Tax planning drives a lot of the value of a carve-out or spin-off transaction, and that's why tax planning is among the earliest discussions in any carve-out transaction. Just make sure you're not looking at your transaction structure in a vacuum. You'll want legal, operational, finance, accounting considerations to be part of that analysis to make sure the business can actually operate within that structure. Value can also be influenced depending on whether you package the target business in an appealing way for the buyer, whether you can flex that structure for different buyers, whether it be a strategic buyer or a financial buyer. So developing that strategy early on and being prepared to discuss your preferred transaction structure with potential buyers helps you to avoid unnecessary reorganization costs and expenses and gives you the best chance of actually realizing that preferred structure. And then the last point I'm going to highlight here is just do not overlook the complexity introduced by different legal systems in the different jurisdictions involved in your carve-out. Carve-out and spin-off transactions are more often than not multi-jurisdictional, and the different legal systems in different jurisdictions impact your planning in so many ways. It impacts the structure you ultimately adopt, how you can move your assets, how you can move your employees, what regulatory approvals will be required. It's very important that you do not implement a US-centric plan across the globe and expect it to work across the globe. You must be considering your tax, legal, operational issues on a jurisdiction by jurisdiction basis, or else you might be scrambling for last minute workarounds during the implementation phase, or even worse, after closing. And these types of misses in the planning phase can introduce unnecessary risk and be value destructive. So just to kind of sum up there, it's important to get the right team together and the right escalation and decision-making process for delivering your carve-out. You want to understand what you're selling, what's in and what's out. You need to develop a transaction structure that works to transfer the business that you're selling. And you want to be thinking about all of this from both a global and a local perspective.
Great. Thanks, Darcy. Really great points. With so much to consider around the planning and preparation and undertaking a carve-out, Robert, could you give our audience some advice on how to achieve deal certainty and avoid value leakage in carve-out situations?
I'll probably touch upon two topics that Darcy has highlighted. When we look at deal certainty and leakage issues, the planning phase, as well as some of the structural considerations, are typically key areas of focus. Let's start with planning. As Darcy alluded to, complex carve-out transactions often require fulsome life cycle management from areas like pre-deal strategy planning right through to maintenance of post-divestiture relationships between separated entities. From a planning perspective, we see this play out in a range of areas, and I'll touch on three areas that we thought might be interesting for the audience. Firstly, vendor due diligence. Vendor due diligence can be useful in assisting the parties in identifying key issues early in the process. So if we have clear plans around the carve-out, we find this tends to instill confidence in bidders, ideally allowing for a more streamlined bidder due diligence process. The second area I would touch upon is what we call a complexity assessment. Practically speaking, undertaking a carve-out comes with obvious cost implications. From a tax standpoint, it's common for companies to be reluctant to incur tax costs for carve-outs until they know they've got a deal where they can typically capitalize these costs or otherwise manage the tax impact of the proposed transaction. So to kick things off, a complexity assessment can be undertaken to map out the process and timetable for a carve-out, identifying any key approvals, consents, or other threshold issues that might be relevant. This helps in generally assessing how complicated it's going to be to carve out a business. Once we have that information, we can then design an M&A process that fits in with that carve-out. For example, if regulatory approvals are required on lower priority aspects of the carve-out, but not the substance of the business, we might see staggered closing arrangements put in place. We find this can ensure that the deal can progress promptly and minimize any potential value leakage. The third area I would highlight really relates to projection planning. It's always important to consider how the business will operate post-divestiture. For example, it's not uncommon for issues to arise in relation to IT support. So understanding what IT services a seller can actually provide to the carve-out business post-closing becomes a critical piece of the planning process. The second topic I flagged we might touch upon relates to some of the structural considerations around managing value leakage. There are three structural features we thought we would briefly mention. Firstly, value retention. Parties to carve out transactions may need to look at potentially a combination of transaction structures. For example, parties may consider dividends, return on capital, and other structuring arrangements when considering how to best repatriate cash for the particular transaction. The second issue I'll briefly touch upon is in relation to the preferred transaction structure. As Darcy mentioned, setting clearly defined transaction parameters for the carve-out, which align with the carve-out financial accounts, is a fundamental requirement. Knowing what is in scope and what is out of scope needs to be clearly communicated across both financial and legal work streams. And once the transaction perimeter is locked down, this provides the parties with clear scope to proceed with the deal. In terms of some of the other trends relating to transaction structuring, we're also seeing a significant uptick in earnouts and deferred closing mechanisms, which provide buyers with more flexibility and sellers with greater deal certainty on a number of these transactions. Thirdly, warranty and indemnity insurance, or representation and warranty insurance, is a key feature of the current market, having a transactional insurance coverage as part of your transaction can support to streamline the process of negotiating a warranty package for carve-out transactions that mitigates a certain amount of risk to the extent that this can be borne by the underwriter. These are some of the key features that we see as being helpful in managing some of the deal certainty and avoiding value leakage in carve-out situations.
Brilliant. Well, Robert, Darcy, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and thank you so much for sharing your insights. To those listening, we hope you found this episode informative, and please tune in for another episode in the coming weeks.